friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Oh, yeah. Kickoff feels so far away, yet it'll be here before you know it. And it also means, you know what I don't like about Sunday 1 o'clock games? Dan. Dan's in for Jeff today. You know what I don't like?
What?
It's like when the game is over, you feel like Monday is ready to kick in. Like, it feels like the weekend's over. I'm sorry. I've always felt that way. Like, I always feel like it's weekend. Then you have a 1 o'clock kickoff. And then the game's over, and then you kind of catch the 4 o'clock, 4:30 game. You probably watch that all the way through, and then for sure it feels like the weekend is over, unless your team is playing in the Sunday nighter, which I don't have that really have that much of that experience with the Browns playing in Sunday nighters. So it feels like the weekend's over. It drives me crazy. I hate that feeling. It's like fear of missing out, but it's a different kind of anxiety. And then you're like, oh, I didn't do anything all weekend. Oh my God, I laid around all day and watched games. Now, I haven't done that in a while on Sundays, but you know what I'm saying?
It's interesting that you put it that way, because mine, like growing up, always knowing the weekend was over during the fall and that school was coming on Monday was when I heard the clock of 60 minutes, the ticking of that stopwatch.
That is a great call. Yeah, I agree with you.
The ticking of that stopwatch was the minute I was like, oh no, I got to go do homework.
I've got to get all this done by when? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be up all night.
Yeah, it always felt that way. And then the minute I would hear that tick, 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 tick of 60 minutes, I was like, oh God, I got to get everything done.
All right, a couple things. One, I'm going to ask you, would you play Quinshon Judkins on Sunday? Would you? You know he practiced yesterday. Do you think he's got what it takes to go hop on the field this Sunday? And what will he mean for this team? I think we're I hope he has a great game. I really do. But I do think that we're I don't want to say overestimating his value, but the odds of him having a gigantic 100-yard-plus game are not very high. I'll just be honest. I mean, you're asking a lot out of a rookie to step on the field and, you know, try to lead you to the promised land against one of the best teams in the league. Now, yet their defense did absolutely fall apart in the fourth quarter against Buffalo. I do want to start here for 1 second, Dan, sure. And I know we didn't talk about this, and I probably should have laid this on you earlier. But after listening,
everybody's having a conversation. I know, but myself.
After listening to the morning show today, and knowing all of the hoopla outside of the game about the 30th anniversary, you're ready to shut the faucet down on that or what? Like you said, and it was just a brief moment conversation that we had earlier this morning where you seem irritated by the whole thing. And you're like, you tell me what you feel. I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
This is a me problem, and you are more than welcome to yell at me for said me problem as necessary. I am very much a control what you can control type person. That's kind of how I look at everything, where everything else takes place outside of me. I'm in charge of what I am in charge of. I control what I can control. If the Ravens want to throw their little anniversary thing, am I going to be offended by this and look at it and go, is it probably not the best thing for you to do? Yeah, but I'm not going to lose any sleep and lose my mind over it because it's out of my control. That's what they are doing. I'm worried about me. I'm an 0-1. I'm an 0-1 football team. I need to figure out why my offense can't score more than 17 points, and it can't simply be, as much as we've heard from everybody saying, oh yeah, the Bengals put the dome over you and, you know, ran cover two and Joe Flacco took what he could take. You couldn't find explosive plays to save your soul on Sunday. And you're not going to win football games in the NFL if you can't find runs and throws of over 20 yards.
Okay, the fact that you're already into this part of the conversation means that you have 100% turned the page on the 30th anniversary stuff.
Yes, because that's how I think. Is I'm like, you could do whatever you want to do. Whatever fan service you want to have, I don't care if in the middle of the service you parade everybody from 30 years down and announce their names. I don't care. I got to figure out why I can't score points. Like, that's where my mindset is. I control what I can control.
But you can't control what you do. But here's the point. As a fan, you can't control any of that. None of it. But what you can control are your emotions and feelings towards an organization that, as Chris Rose so aptly put, was shoplifted from us years ago.
That is correct.
You can control that. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and I normally we don't talk about it. I'm trying to talk about other shows and stuff. And, you know, Ken and I, sometimes we get heated about things that we talk about, and people laugh. And they're like, oh, you guys fighting or this, that. I mean, I have tons of respect for Ken from this morning because, I mean, yeah, I know he got a little bit crazy, but his whole passion and argument, and I'm glad their show's on YouTube. We'll probably be on YouTube here very soon too, but that people can go back and actually watch that what Ken was yelling and screaming about this morning, and he was like, I'm out of here. You can do the show by yourself. Man, that was real. That was all very, very real. And the one thing that Ken and I do absolutely positively share is that same kind of idiot's passion, I guess, in some ways, where, especially when it comes to fans, like Ken gets it, man. He understands it the same way I do. And I think a lot of it for me has to do with my upbringing and my family and my dad and, you know, this generational thing that we have that I always talk about with the Browns, that it's generational. If you think about it, nobody in their right mind under 30 should probably be a Browns fan if you did it based on winning. But the reason you are is because your family was, because someone who had, and it may not necessarily be your family, someone who was influential on you when you were young that said, we're going to stick with this team no matter what, no matter if we don't like the owner, we don't like the quarterback, we don't like the general manager, we think this is ridiculous, and we have a million zillion reasons to not like the team. Somehow, some way, someone put in your DNA the ability to be a Browns fan, and sometimes it's not logical. It's not. If you think about it, being a Browns fan, if you're under 30, God bless you, man. God bless you, because someone steered you in that direction, and you're the future, where all of us that are kind of sitting here middle ages or just entering middle ages are kind of like, you know, this is what we knew when we were kids, and we get it, and we understand it, and that's why we get upset on weeks like this when we see that the Ravens marketing department decided that it was a good idea to make this their 30th anniversary game. And I can't wait, because we've got Tom McCarthy coming up, and I talked about this yesterday. From our perspective, on the 30th anniversary, we're sitting in Cleveland, right? We're all right here. That 30th anniversary means nothing to us. It really doesn't. All it is a reminder of somebody coming in and stealing your team from you, okay? And by the way, when I was on Baltimore Radio, they got it. Like, they still understand that the Colts were stolen from them. Got it. Totally get it. Again, two fan bases that supported their franchises, and the owners decided that they were going to be oblivious to that and move their teams. So, you know, when Tom joins us, and I said the only reason we're going to even have any kind of inkling on this 30th anniversary thing, and by the way, it's all season, so CBS really doesn't need to talk about it during this game. And if they do, I get it. If they need to talk about it for a minute and they want to show all the guys that have played for the Ravens over the last 30 years with one shot, that's great. But dear God, don't dwell on it all game. If they dwell on that all game, that means the game probably wasn't good because they needed another storyline to talk about to go into it. And or it's the producer of the game that is absolutely sticking it to the announcer. And by the way, it doesn't matter. Like, we could all get mad at the announcer about this or that. At the end of the day, they're talking about what they see on the screen. And what they see on the screen is prompted by the producer and the director that says take, and it goes. And the producer is pushing the content to get on the air. Hopefully, CBS does not throw that content in our face for 2.5 hours while we're all watching the game on Sunday. So Tom McCarthy is joining us at 11:40. I can't wait to talk to him about it.
It'll be a fun one on that. I said, this is where I am, like, you know, you could go, well, what if, you know, the Bears did something like that against the Packers? Bears. Or what if the Vikings did something like that against the Packers? I'd probably feel the same exact way.
No, it's the Colts. I mean, Baltimore fans totally get it.
It's the only thing I've ever really It's the only thing I've never really taken problem with what you have always said, which is anytime you blame Ravens fans for what took place when it came to the Browns. That's the only time I've ever really been mad at you about the entire thing.
Well, to be honest with you, you mean this week?
No. Like, in general, when you're like, well, I can't believe that they could root for that team. I can't believe he could do this and this and this. That's the only time I've ever really been mad at you.
Really?
Because it's like, yes.
And how many years are we 10 years yet?
It takes a good amount to get me mad.
Yeah.
But that's the only time, because it's like, these people, this is the same thing of, like, you know, yelling at a bunch of people for breaking the law when everybody else around them is breaking the law.
You're breaking the law. You're still breaking the law.
But that's what people do.
Yeah,
that's
no, how it's not. There wouldn't be a law there if there wasn't something
really
to be broken.
Are these people supposed to sit there and go, oh, we took this from Cleveland. I cannot root for them to save myself. No, they have a team with their name on it.
It's called
city
ethics.
Pride.
It's ethical.
In the same way that you have city pride for your team.
Yeah, I have city pride too, but there's some ethics to it, right? I mean, seriously, if you were sitting there 30 years ago and you were a Colts fan, there's no way you didn't feel dirty about stealing the team. You know you did. You felt you needed a shower because you felt dirty, and then you justified it by saying, well, Indianapolis stole our team from us.
But it's got,
again, I'm not talking about fan bases
name,
that didn't show up
city
to the
pride.
Game.
It's all of those things that you do for Cleveland is the same thing that happens in Baltimore. Blaming the fans for any of this stuff is such misplaced anger. It's ridiculous.
I'm telling you that in the beginning, there is no way those fans didn't feel dirty about taking our team. And their only justification was, well, Indianapolis did it to us. That's it. And I'm going to be mad at the fans. I'm mad at Art Modell. And I was mad at Mike White. And I was mad at,
beautiful,
you know, county government once again.
It's all I needed to hear from you.
Yeah. I mean, but although how mad could I have been at county government? You know,
I mean,
so,
we're all, you know, it's kind of like a steady bubbling of anger at county government, and then it raises a little from time to time.
I remember when the team moved and listening to Lee Weingart, who I think would be, well, I'll leave it at that. But I thought Lee did a really, really good job of representing the fans back in the day when that was going on and trying to help us understand how stupid this whole thing was when it was going down and how the fans were getting robbed at that time. And, you know, and he was super young at the time it was county commissioner at that point. One of three county commissioners at that point. And I remember listening to him on Triv from Columbus while I was down there because I was just so mad. I was so angry. And, you know, it's just, I get it. You get it. I get it. If you're in my age range or understand that, you would be mad at the fans. I never felt good for Oklahoma City fans. I'll be honest with you. It's the same thing. Every time a franchise leaves a city where the fans supported the team,
oh, great.
It makes me sick.
You and I have always agreed on this until the end.
Total greed.
Bring back the Supersonics, bring back the Expos.
Like, tell me you don't feel bad for the St. Louis fans, too?
Absolutely.
Like, I feel bad for them on the Rams, too.
It's a joke what happened with Kroenke and the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, remember the little kids, the little kid thing, ripping Kroenke on that thing? It was just
Oh, I've got family that lives in St. Louis. Yeah. I got stories I can tell.
I have 100% turned the page on this whole thing right now. So I want to just talk about the game for the rest of the day.
Now
but
help
I know
me find
listen,
out how this offense can get explosive plays.
Well, here's the other part. If you feel like you need to get it off your chest today, I don't care. I'll let you. I don't care. I just don't. Because I respect you. I respect, you know, Browns fans. We are all one and the same. And, you know, it's been a long week. And, man, nothing would make me feel better than watching them go in there and just stick it to Baltimore this weekend. You want to have your stupid little celebration of 30 games and you couldn't wait one more game? Nothing would be better than the ultimate face at the end by just saying scoreboard. Just get me there. All right, let's talk about Quinshon Judkins when we come back. Also, Merrill Hodge is going to join us at 11:20. Tom McCarthy, who's calling the game on CBS, will be with us. Our good friend Chris Ossenheimer going to talk some Guardians with us at 12:20. Tim May at 12:40. We've got Two Keys and a Lock coming up. We've got Quick Predicts. We've got all these great things coming up. It's all on Baskin and Phelps with Dan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
And Menigan.
Throw in 92.3 The Fan, hit the button right there, and you'll hear Andy, Jeff, myself, Nick, Jonathan, the Morning Gentleman, and Jake at night as well. So keep it locked in here. We'll keep you up to date on all the Browns news to come.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in as we get set for the Browns and Ravens on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. You know you can hear all the action right here on the Browns Radio Network, 92.3 The Fan. And then over on our sister station, NCX 98.5, I'll be there for the pregame show. Jeff will be around for halftime and postgame as well. And we're with our good buddy, Tyvus Paul. So the three of us get to hang out during the day, and we talk a little bit of football with you and looking forward to it on the Browns Radio Network. Okay, so there's a couple questions. One, let's start with Quinshon Judkins. Would you let him play? Dan Menigan.
Yes. if he is in decent enough shape to go, if he has a general understanding of the offense, or at least Joe Flacco is comfortable enough with going on this play, you will run behind this guy, then yes, I need speed. I need explosion. I need to find it somewhere. And that guy is the closest thing I've got to it that I haven't seen yet. I circle him. I circle Isaiah Bond. I circle Jerry Jeudy. I need something explosive out of this offense if I'm going to get over the hump against the Ravens. And those are the guys I'm looking to do it. So absolutely, if he is good to go, if he has a general understanding of when to run, go. You, would you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% would play him. I'm tempering my expectations for him, though. That's the key, because I think Browns fans think he can jump out there and be Nick Chubb right away. I don't think that's fair to him at all. I think you got to give him a little bit of a window to get ready and roll. It's been a little while since he's played a game, since the national championship game. So you just got to breathe a little when it comes to Quinshon Judkins. Man, the other thing I fear, and I know I might be the only one who's in this paranoid room, is that the league comes down and does something today and says, I don't think he's playing on Sunday.
It's a little odd it hasn't happened yet.
Is it, though? It's the league. The league doesn't care. The league does not care. What if the league came in and wiped out three of our players for Sunday, too?
The fact that we haven't had it yet makes me wonder.
If we get by today, then I'll feel clean. I'll feel like we're ready to go, and that they're not real. I don't think they're coming back and doing anything.
It makes me wonder if it might turn into the Jordan Addison situation, where what happened with Jordan Addison took place months and months before he was handed the suspension. And they did it, I think it was in the offseason even. And so it makes me wonder if that's the direction that this is going, that they're not going to just yank these guys away in the middle of the season. I
hope not.
I have nothing to back any of this up with. I don't
trust the league. Sorry.
Oh, I don't either. And we know how Raj likes to operate with some of these things, where it's just, you know, somewhat subjective and somewhat it's, hey, you know, we've got the information we're looking for. Let's go. So
timing is everything. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you look at, they keep the cities quiet when they make news on Friday afternoon, right? They're not going to get, there's no one to call at the league office after 5 o'clock on Friday so that they don't have to listen to people. And then you get 2 days to cool off, and then you have your team play. So, like, you know, let's just hypothetically, and I'm not even going to say a name, player X gets suspended on Friday at 5, and a team is in total uproar, or the fans of a team are in a total uproar over the fact that player X can't play, and then all of a sudden you win on Sunday, that suspension of player X is like, simmer down now.
Somewhat secondary.
Yeah. It's not the headline anymore. And then if your team won, you're like, well, okay, well, I really wish he was playing, but we proved that we can win without him. So you get into that situation. So I would definitely play Quinshon Judkins Sunday.
I don't
have any hesitation. As long as he's healthy, you know?
I would too. As long as he's healthy, as long as he's in good enough football shape to go, I 100% would. And see what he does on the field. If he looks like he's running through mud because he's not in perfect shape yet, well, then pivot from there.
So are we dressing all four running backs then? Sanders, Judkins, Ford, Sampson? They're going to have to make a roster move, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think they do. I think they're going to have to make a roster move to get him in. I don't know. Is he in the 53? I got to go back and check that out. But and even if that's the case, I mean, what are you going to lose? Your third string, strong safety?
Well, he's in the 53 because they signed someone. Right? The minute that ink hits paper, doesn't he?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
He's a part of the 53 and ink's hit paper.
So the question then becomes who's active, who's not active. I would think that Sampson, the thought that Jeff brought up that maybe they would make Ford inactive.
Yeah, are you done with Jerome Ford?
No.
Have you seen enough?
No. Okay. No, I still.
What makes you still have faith?
History. He understands the game. He knows what's going on. He knows how to go through a game day. He knows what it takes to have some patience. You know, he did take a cut in salary to be here. He wants to be here. He still wants the opportunity to play. You need a veteran. I think you need at least one veteran running back. Now, you know, there are some coaches that tell you, okay, once we played one game, you're already a veteran now. And you understand what it takes to play in a game. And you understand, you know, what it takes to get through the butterflies and what it takes to implement and how fast the game is. I still think Ford still sees the game different than Sampson or Judkins do at this point. at some point, Sampson and Judkins are both past them. And, you know, they think their future is Sampson and Judkins.
Right.
Okay, I'm good with that. That's that, you know, is that a modern day version of Mack and Biner? I don't think so, but we'll find out.
Let's let it hit the field before we make any kind of a comparison.
Yeah, what do they want? That's the question.
Yeah, I am good seeing less of Jerome Ford and seeing those carries find their way elsewhere. And maybe this week is the week where, like, Ford gets a similar amount of carries than what we've seen in the past, and then it starts to slowly back off as Judkins gets more acclimated. And I wonder if that's the direction where all of this stuff goes. Whereas Judkins gets acclimated, we see less and less of Ford. Ford was bad last week. My heavens, was he bad. He looked like he lacked burst. He looked like he lacked explosiveness. I mean, there were a couple holes that he just flat out missed. He looked bad. So, like, when you start looking like that and you've got two rookies on this roster, and hey, good for you for wanting to take less money. I don't know if I'd be able to do it, but to each their own for wanting to be here and all that stuff. Like, wonderful, but it's production on the field that tells the story of who gets the touches.
I kind of want to go through some of these injuries too. I mean, how concerned are we with Jack Conklin? I wonder how his eye is. He's questionable still for this game, right? He's questionable.
I mean, I assume he's been a full participant in practice to this point, I believe. The case, then he's fine. With an eye / elbow.
Yeah, of all the injuries to have eye, right? Like, how does that happen? Someone's got to get their finger up in his grill.
Why? Why doesn't everyone wear a face mask?
I don't. Why wouldn't everyone wear a visor? Is that what you're saying?
Thank you.
I don't know. I'd wear one.
Especially on the offensive line where you got hands going all over the place, you'd think you'd wear a visor. I don't know. Maybe it's just because if you don't have that visor there, it's easier to show holding. You know, easier to show the defensive player grabbing the face mask of the offensive player. But it's also Jack Conklin. We've played this game for as long as he's been here. You know, he always seems to be fighting some kind of an injury.
He's
one of the better right tackles in football. It's just he doesn't play as much as you want him to play.
Juwan Jones also a little banged up going into this week's game.
He more scares me because Trey Hendrickson had a field day against him.
Is that because he was banged up a little bit, or what do you think?
Might just because he's young and hasn't had enough reps.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's the one weak link on this offensive line. Would be Juwan Jones on the left-hand side, and it's just, can he move fast enough? I know he's dropped the weight. I know they're saying he's looked great. Can he move fast enough? Can he react fast enough? Do you worry about the left side of the line with Juwan Jones there?
I think we all have, because we've seen two. He's kind of, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. Do you worry about Joel? I don't, as long as he's healthy. That's all you have to really worry about with him.
If he's here, it's because he wants to be here, and every single word that's come out of his mouth has said, I want to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we.
He's a pro's pro, man. He's going to go out there. You're not going to hear him complain. He's going to try to play no matter if he's hurt. You know, very much, a prodigy of the man that stood next to him, right? Joe Thomas, that stood next to him for so many years. I feel the same way about Posick and Teller, too. Like, those guys are just, they're just gamers, you know? I don't know. Remember what they used to call Kipnis? It was a dirtbag. Dirtbag. I'm not calling these guys dirtbags, but, I mean, it's the equivalent in a good, positive way that, you know, that put them out there. We're going to play. We're going to play as hard as we can. Hopefully you don't see me on a holding call, and that means I had a good game, right? That's how you know they had a good game. We don't see them ever.
Offensive linemen are like the football versions of hockey players. They, like, get done with the season, and you, like, look at them, and you're like, oh, my God, you had a torn meniscus this entire time that you were playing through? You had a ripped MCL? You messed up your tricep? How are you walking? You know, in the same way, like, hockey players get done with the Stanley Cup, and you're like, you had a punctured lung?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I mean, you got two of them, right?
How are you playing with a lacerated kidney?
All you do is put a little super glue in there. You take your skate, you make a little incision by your rib, and then you get one of those turkey basters, and you stick a little super glue in there, and then your lung goes right back up.
That's how I've always felt about offensive linemen, too, is they get done, and I'm like, how are you moving? Like, do you just, like, you just crawl everywhere until it's time to say hike?
All right, let's tape an aspirin to it. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. He's Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. Merrill Hodge, Tom McCarthy, all coming up in the next hour as we get you ready for Sunday's game. It's Browns-Ravens. The clock is ticking. Get ready. Here we go. I know we got the Buckeyes in high school standing in front of us, but we're still talking Browns-Ravens right here. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 2 1-
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.